Seeking God with prayer, fasting, and doing His Word must become our lifestyle. You may be seated. I just took it for granted you would sit down. Can't take anything for granted. Jesus. This is more than prayer and fasting. Listen, this is about meditating on the Word, using our authority, being in church, giving, obeying God with our money, winning in spiritual warfare. We're talking about doing God's Word as a habit. There are good habits. Some people automatically say, well, I don't want to do that kind of thing as a habit. If you make it a habit, it comes easy. To me, it's a habit. It's a good habit that I spent years developing, and I have no intention of changing it. Our daily lives must be centered around prayer with fasting and doing God's Word. I promise you, your life, your family, your home, your job, your health, everything will be better if you will do this. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. I don't know that they had a residence inside the temple, but she was there evidently from sunup to sundown. I don't know exactly the details on that, but she was there. It became her lifestyle to be in the house of God every day. She spent her life serving God, and she had the ability to identify baby Jesus as the Messiah, because this woman was really seeking the face of God, praying and fasting. God showed her who the Christ child was. She identified Jesus as the Christ child. That's revelation. That is revelation. You see, I believe that prayer and fasting and worship produces revelation. That's where I get most of my ideas, and that's where God speaks to me mostly. I was praying and seeking the face of God, and He said, I want you to ask the people to bring canned goods in and perishables to give to needy people. You say, well, how do you know you really heard from God? Because you did it. If God says do it, it works. If God says do it, it'll work. There's too many preachers and too many people say, well, God told me to do that, and it never works. The Bible calls those people false prophets. I don't want to be a false prophet, so I fast and pray until I know I hear from God. We need to spend 2024 hearing and doing God's Word. We all cannot spend all our time in the temple or in the church, but we can make doing God's Word a daily priority. Daniel 9:3, we do what's important to us. I do this because it's life and death to me. Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 3, so I turned to the Lord God. Everybody talks about a Daniel fast. Well, here's another fast, and he's doing food this time. He didn't do just a partial food fast. So I turned to the Lord, and pleaded with Him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. He's doing the works this time. Verse 21, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had, an angel I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight. It was an angel. Man don't normally fly. Can you say amen? At least not back then. They might have a jetpack or something now. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, you see, angels can really give you information even though you may not see them. Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. That's where you really get revelation and understanding and insight into the things of God and into the will of God for your life is in prayer, and adding fasting to it gives it a boost. And then you need to meditate upon God's Word, because when I'm praying, I'm talking to God. When I'm reading His Word, meditating on His Word, that's God talking to me. And if you had noticed already, when the Lord told me to have you bring in those canned goods and non-perishables, to use that scripture in Isaiah. I got a weak amen. I take that. Now, Daniel was in prayer with fasting when God sent the angel with insight and understanding. Amen. He was seeking God. And God sent the angel. Amen. Prayer, fasting, and doing the word was Daniel's lifestyle. Well, how do you know that? Because he got thrown in the lion's den because he wouldn't give up his lifestyle of praying three times a day. Morning, noon, and night. Hello? Have y'all not read this? Yay. Remember, he landed in the lion's den for praying three times a day. Even though he knew they had a law that was going to throw him into the lions, he would not change his habit. He opened the windows toward Jerusalem and prayed right in front of everybody, knowing he was going to the lion's den. That's okay. God went to the lion's den with him. Amen. He served God with all of his heart, and he was a man of praying and fasting. And our lifestyle must be a lifestyle of doing the word. Don't get just focused on fasting. There's a lot more to it than that. The fasting is a booster. Since I started praying and fasting myself and doing God's word 45 plus years ago, I've had wisdom and revelation and miraculous power operating in me. And if I just do better, maybe I could have more. But God has worked great miracles through this church right here. Many of you are the miracle. Many of you have been healed of all kinds of things, including cancer. I mean, God's a miracle-working God, but you just can't sit back and do nothing. No one has wisdom and revelation and miraculous power just because they're born again or just because they're called to be a preacher. You got to be a doer of the word. Even Jesus did it. He fasted 40 days before he started his ministry. And then it says he got up really early in the morning and prayed. And then when he'd have a big crusade, he'd send the people off. And then he'd go up in the mountains and pray. Listen, if Jesus did that, we need to do it. Amen. We all have equal access to the power of God. Do I need to repeat that? Was anybody dozing off? We all have equal access to the power of God through prayer with fasting and doing the word. Meditating on the word. Meditate therein day and night. I don't have time to read the Bible. You're told to meditate in day and night. You don't get a choice if you want to obey God. Well, and I'm not, I'm just really trying to, I want to get you blessed, okay? Don't take anything I've said wrong. What you do is between you and God. But as the pastor and your preacher, if I don't lay it out, you probably won't ever do it. Who's going to lay it out for you? We all have equal access to the power of God through prayer with fasting and doing the word. Praying, fasting, and meditating on the word is the difference. And that's why I've made it my lifestyle, not so I can go around bragging about fasting so much. I'm known as the fasting pastor, and it's not necessarily a compliment. They kind of like, hey, I think it's funny. But very few of them getting people healed. Very few of them having the miracle power of God in their lives. Many of them are sick and dying, these preachers themselves. And here I am, 110 years old, and look what God has done. And it's not me. Mark chapter 9, verse 29, and he replied to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and faith." Well, that's not in some of the best manuscripts. The praying part is. And the Jews, they always prayed with fasting, and so did the early Christians. And one of these days, they're going to find a manuscript with that in it. Because that's what they did. Prayer with fasting. He says, "This kind, driving out demons and devils, having authority over Satan and his power, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." And that's what he told them. He said, that's the reason you couldn't cast the demon out, little boy, because you hadn't been doing the fasting. And the Pharisees complained, why aren't your disciples fasting? Our disciples fast. John's disciples fast. And Jesus said, when I'm gone, then they'll fast. So now it's time to fast. Jesus said they could not cast out this demon because they were not praying but fasting. They did not have the faith they needed because they were not habitually doing the work. Prayer with fasting and the word produces no so faith. Well, how do I get faith? I don't have faith to get healed of this cancer. You get in the word of God, throw in some fasting, stay in the word of God, get in a good church, get the people praying over you, get you some prayer partners. If any two agree, come on, you got to do it all. If any two agree that the Father will give you what you're asking for. You see, we must just do what the Word says and quit allowing the devil to make up all these excuses. Amen. James 1:22, and I'm getting a little older, as you can tell. I just had another birthday, and the miracle of it is I'm still 49. Amen. I just got stuck on that, and every year I'm still 49. But the devil tells me, well, you're getting older. You're going to have to stop all this fasting. Well, why? I feel better right now than I was when I was eating, a lot better. But you can't just do it the way you want to do it. You got to listen to advice. And God has taught me how to do it, partly to tell you how to do it. Obviously, it's working. All the miracles God has worked in His church. Do you think raising $96,000 in one little fundraiser was not a miracle of God? We started that right after the fast. Y'all still here? Oh, there you are. These lights really are bright. Come up here sometime. Not now. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. How hard is that to understand? It didn't say if you feel like it. Well, I don't have time. It didn't say, except when you don't have time. You make time. And we eat three times a day. It doesn't matter what you do, and you drop everything and go eat. And you got to be that committed to God's word. That's right. Matter of fact, when you're fasting, that's a good time to read the word and pray. Yes, instead of eating. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you say, I don't need to do that, this says you have deceived yourself. The devil didn't deceive you, deceived yourself. And I don't mean, want anybody to take this as me in any way being mean or being condemning. I just want to make a point. Okay. And just stress the point. Because I know the devil's fighting you over it. He's still fighting me over it. This means constantly be a doer of God's word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Look at this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Lifestyle. That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Well, why aren't I'm a Christian. Why am I not prospering? Why am I having all this failure and defeat? Are you doing the word? Amen. Not just one 21-day fast. You see, I am greatly blessed by daily doing the word of God. And I certainly don't like putting myself up as an example because I have my faults. I'm still just an old rough country boy. But I do love Jesus. And I know praying and fasting works. Amen. Choose a blessing. Do what the word says. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. He replied, this is Jesus, the head man, the boss. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Amen. To be a faithful doer of the word, we cannot just do it one time, but habitually. Christian leaders throughout history have had a lifestyle of prayer, fasting, and doing the word. We read about these guys, oh, I wish I could be a mighty man of God or a mighty woman of God like them. I'd like to be like Esther. Are you willing to do what Esther did? She fasted food and water for 3 days. Did the great men of the church, in church history, pray with fasting? Martin Luther. You know, we may not have the Protestant movement if it hadn't been for this monk fasting. Martin Luther. Now, I had to do research at Oral Roberts University on this stuff, and they wouldn't let you just quote some book. You had to dig it out and get it from the original source, their writings and other writings. And that's what I had to spend hours digging this stuff out. And then I preach it, and people sit and ignore me. I'm kidding about that. Martin Luther, born in 1483, was a man of prayer and fasting. His friend Philip Melanchthon, I don't know how to say that, was Luther, said Luther, as a young monk, had a zealous observation of fasting and prayer. I have seen him during 4 days successfully abstain from both meat and drink. This is the facts. This is history. This is from the source. I abstained from both meat and drink at other times for many days together. You see, it was this praying, fasting, Bible reading monk that received the revelation that salvation is by faith and not by works, as the Catholic Church was teaching at that time. You could even buy your salvation. But Luther said, no, no, he got a revelation on that, and they immediately tried to kill him. When you start getting revelations from God, it doesn't mean everybody's going to like it. If Luther had not been a doer of the word, we may not have received the revelation that brought about the Protestant Reformation. John Wesley, born in 1703, believed that the key to the miracle power of God was prayer and fasting. I had to go and dig up his writings in the library and read them and study them and quote them. He believed that the key to the miracle power of God was prayer with fasting. He writes, "While we were at Oxford, the rule of every Methodist was, unless in case of sickness, to fast every Wednesday and Friday in the year." How would you like to be a Methodist pastor back then? Well, they're not doing that now, and look at them. They're ordaining people who are homosexuals to the pulpit. I'm not against homosexuals. I love them. Got some great friends. But when somebody's practicing something contrary to Scripture, you don't ordain them to the ministry. If you claim to be a Bible believer, you don't abuse them and beat them up. You just don't put people in positions of leadership that's an adulterer, a whoremonger, that's a drunkard, a drug abuser. I mean, you don't put those kind of people in leadership. Sorry if you don't like that, but that's what the Bible says. I'm going with God. Amen. I'm going with God. Amen. While we were at Oxford, the rule of every Methodist was, unless in case of sickness, to fast every Wednesday and Friday in the year, and in imitation of the primitive church. He had been doing some reading and research himself. He said the early church did it, and that's what we're going to do. John Wesley and the Methodists patterned their fasting after the writings of the early church fathers, called the Apostolic Fathers. They were known for the miracle power of God. They had camp meetings where people get under the power of God and fall out in the sawdust and lay there under the power of God. They had all kind of miracles happening way back, because there was such a thing as a Pentecostal movement because of prayer and fasting. But they did more than just pray and fast. They practiced all the Word of God. They learned the Word. They knew the Word. They practiced the Word. Smith Wigglesworth, have you ever heard of him? All Pentecostals and all charismatics and all full gospel people that I know anything about, they quote Smith Wigglesworth all the time. They talk about what great miracles he worked. He was born in 1859 in England. That's before the Civil War here. Smith Wigglesworth, who had one of the most powerful healing ministries in the world, raised several people from the dead. There's many witnesses to verify that. He practiced prayer with fasting. Smith said, "I have found prayer and fasting the greatest joy, and you will always find it so when you're led by God." What have I been telling you? Pray and find out what God wants you to do, and do that kind of fast. Fasting makes life better when we are led by God. But if God never leads you to do it, you're not listening. Especially if you're healthy. Fasting makes life better when we are led by God and enables us to hear and obey the Word of God. Elmer Towns, Dean of Liberty University School of Religion, and he's one of the greatest writers of all time, great Baptist. He tells the story of how Jerry Falwell, one of the greatest Baptists who ever lived, and I admire him. Jerry Falwell called all of Liberty University to pray and fast for a professor who was dying with cancer. Jerry shut down the university cafeteria and told everyone on campus who were healthy to fast. He didn't give them a choice. He shut the cafeteria down. And guess what happened? This professor had cancer, was healed. A Baptist. I mean, praying and fasting worked for Methodists, Baptists, Assembly of God, Pentecostals, Charismatics, Nuts, and everybody else. Why y'all so quiet? The professor was ill. They changed history for the university by habitually doing God's Word. First Baptist Church of Lynchburg, Virginia. Bill Bright, he's been gone a little while, but he was director of Campus Crusade. I think he was the founder of it. And he was one of the mightiest men of God. Churches all over the nation used his teachings on how to win souls. And we've even had many people here in our church involved in Campus Crusade, just in recent times. Bill Bright, director of Campus Crusade for Christ, in his own words, says nothing. I think I may have mentioned this once before, but most of these things I haven't mentioned one time in five sermons on this subject. Is that nothing else can compare with the supernatural power released when we fast and pray. He also says not only will fasting and prayer transform an individual or church, it can change the course of a nation. And he's one reason I'm doing 40-day fast instead of 21. Because he went across the country a few years before he died, challenging all the preachers to fast 40 days. And I think, I'm fasting 21, that's enough. And then I began to feel led to go for 40 days. Partly because of this guy here. He wasn't no charismatic either. He's just a Bible believer. How many know those people are dangerous? Bible believers are dangerous. And you can get his book, Bill Bright, The Coming Revival, 1995. So, but guess what? Praying and fasting is not enough. We must be a doer of the word. And as born-again believers, fasting and praying for America is not enough. This is a nation of the people, for the people, by the people. When you do not pray and get informed and get out and vote, you're out of God's will. A nation, think of that. A nation of the people, for the people, by the people. And all the problems we have right now is because the people are not, Christians are staying home, not voting. The mayor's election just recently here in Knoxville, most people didn't even know what was happening. 16,000 people voted in that election. Out of the whole, I don't know how many lives directly in Knoxville, but it's around 200,000 people. How many of you Christians live in Knoxville? How long has it been since you went and voted in a mayor's election? Well, if you don't vote in a mayor's election, you may be complaining about a chief of police that's abusing his authority. That's where the power comes from. Comes to policemen as a mayor. I'm daring you to get off. Be nice. Inform yourself and vote. And I've been preaching for a long time. You know, the most important position is the school board. Now we're finding that out. And that election is coming up March the 5th. And most of us don't even know who's running in our area. I didn't until yesterday. And I'm not putting anybody down. I haven't been on it either. But now it's time to get on it. They're right now pushing in Knoxville and in our schools to have to allow so-called transgender girls in the girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. Is that what you want? Well, the school board, that's what they're going to do if somebody don't vote them out and put some, well, I don't know exactly who's there, but I mean, you got to get, let me just back up a little bit. You got to put the good people there. And far as I know, they're pretty good because they haven't done it yet. But I know that these people, transgender and gay, all showing up at the school board demanding they change the policy to accommodate transgender people. And there is no transgender girl. It's a boy. And I don't hate them. I love them. Matter of fact, that's one reason I'm upset, because they're taking these people. They're young. They don't know any better. They have some strange feelings. Don't know what they are. And they take them and start cutting body parts off. And there's many people right now, I get my information from people coming out of transgender, and they're saying there's no such thing as transgender, and you can't change your gender, period. They'll tell you that. You can only change the way you look. But structurally, in DNA, you're still a boy. Man, you can't change that. And when a nation turns its back on God and gets away from Christianity, they come up with a depraved mind. And that's what's going on right now. America's got a depraved mind, and they'll believe anything. If you can take all your clothes off and stand in front of the mirror, and you got all the evidence right in front of you, and a man can say, I'm a girl, there's something wrong. And psychiatrists have always said that to right now. But you know what? These people are driving them crazy, trying to force them to change the science. And we say here, nothing I can do. You can vote. Amen. I didn't plan to say any of that. I assume it was God. I hope it prays God. And I'm not mad at anybody. I love people. Some of my best friends are gay. But I got to love them enough not to tell them a lie. I got to love transgender people enough to say they're transgender enough to say, look, you can be healed of that. You can be delivered without cutting body parts off. You can be delivered. You can be set free. You can get you a good psychiatrist. You can work this out. And most of them do. Amen. What time is it? A lifestyle, Jesus. A lifestyle of fasting can be very healthy. Dr. Don Colbert. Intoxic Relief declares, now you may have heard him interviewed quite a few times by John Hagee, this very popular Christian doctor. He says, death related to our toxic diet and lifestyle account for most deaths in America. Premature deaths is because of our lifestyle. And I did a health course on that at Oral Roberts University, and they taught lifestyle is everything when it comes to being healthy. Yeah. And now they've proven, as I'm reading here, fasting can be a real positive thing for your health. He says, fasting is a powerful, natural way to cleanse your body from the burden of excess toxic nutrients. Everybody's talking about antioxidants, and it's because it's a problem. He believes fasting is a biblical system for cleansing the body, which produces remarkable benefits. He writes, periodic, short-term fast, like the pastor's 90-day fast. Short-term fasting will also strengthen your immune system and help you live longer. He continues, I believe that the best fasting method for cleansing and detoxification is juiced fasting. You see, I saved the best sermon to last. Next week, I don't disappoint you, but I'm going to go in a different direction. He saved it. And don't say praise God. He also recommends green teas and herbal teas for antioxidants and to keep the colon moving. I talk about drinking coffee, but every morning I drank a cup of green tea. It's been my habit for years. Dr. Joel Fuhrman, in his book, Fasting and Eating for Health, gives many well-controlled scientific studies that proves that fasting speeds up the healing process and allows the body to recover from serious disease quickly. If you notice, when a dog is sick, it won't eat. By instinct, that dog knows that the body can heal better if it's not eating. But we say, oh, you're sick. Eat this and eat that and eat the other. It might be you just need to fast. But that's where you need to pray and hear from God. Yeah. I'm not going to tell a sick person to do anything. That's between them and God and their doctor. He has observed the removal, he says, of diseases such as lupus and arthritis. I don't know a lot about this guy, but he really believes in fasting. He has witnessed the healing of Crohn's disease and ulcer-related disease. We've seen the healing of Crohn's just a few years ago, four or five years ago. It was the latest stand right there. Crohn's disease had it really horrible for years and years, and God instantly healed it right there. It wasn't just from fasting. It was a miracle power of God, I think, because of praying and fasting. He says cardiovascular diseases such as high blood pressure and angina have been eliminated through fasting. As far as I know, this guy's name is Christian. I don't know much about him. But his name is Dr. Joel Furman. He's a medical doctor, and his book is Fasting and Eating for Health, copyrighted also in 95. He says fasting enabled, long and of his own experience, says that in his medical practice, fasting enabled long-time disease sufferers to unchain themselves from their multiple toxic drugs and even eliminate the need for surgery. He contends fasting is in conjunction with optimal nutrition after and before the fast offers the ability to undo the damage done to the body by the rich diets of modern societies. I can feel myself getting rid of poisons and toxins and all kind of things. That's why I'm feeling so much better. I experience it. So I can tell you it really does make a big difference. And then when you come off a fast, you especially a long fast, you need to control what you eat. And when I go off the fast, I start off with soups. And I'll eat soup in the morning for breakfast, soup, chicken noodle soup, and for lunch and at night. And I will not eat anything in between. Because your digestive system needs to get the work done without constantly working all the time. It needs a time to rest. Amen. And then I try to make myself eat stuff I know is good for me. Many doctors would tell you not to fast when you have a disease. This doctor says fasting may be the only cure that some diseases have. I went to Prayer Mountain, Dr. Cho's church in Seoul, Korea. I went to his church many years ago, and I went to his Prayer Mountain. And they had everybody there was fasting, all kind of sick people, cancer and everything else. And they had unbelievable miracles all over the place because they tried to give enough medicine not to let them die, what you take care of them. But at the same time, their medicine was fasting and people getting healed left and right. Now, of course, that's more than just fasting. That's the power of God. But God does respond to prayer and fasting. That's my whole point, really. But I'm just trying to show it does have some health benefits, according to some really great medical people. This man's not totally against modern medicine, but he is for fasting. If we're going to do everything he recommends, I believe we need to be under a doctor's supervision. I'm not going to do some of these things unless my doctor's watching over me. And I got a doctor that advised me, and you know well who he is. But we do know that fasting for healthy people can bring great benefits. Therefore, it needs to be a lifestyle. It doesn't have to be hard. And the people get, well, if it's not hard, if you're not suffering, it's not working. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you are to abuse your flesh. Matter of fact, it says exactly opposite. You're to nourish and cherish your body and take care of it. It's a gift from God. Intentionally inflicting pain to your body, it is sin. Amen. You're right. Even though you seem to be the only one that thinks so. Dr. Furman also says that fasting reverses the damage done to the body by the rich diets of modern society. I feel like that's true myself. I joke about my age, but most preachers my age retired a long time ago.
That's right. Amen.
And I'll tell you, part of it's fasting. Amen. Fasting removes waste deposits such as toxins and purifies body, he says, and purifies body tissue that restores health. Fasting supplies the body with the ideal environment to accomplish its work of healing by removing the waste deposits and purifying its tissues that are necessary to reach reach a recovery state of health. By removing the waste deposits and purifying its tissues, ideal environment to accomplish its work of healing. And when the body's not digesting its food, it can really focus on healing itself. And most health professionals will tell you that now, and doctors. And so it's good to take yourself off of food. And, I mean, you can hardly pick up a paper today or magazine without talking about intermittent fasting. They say you need to go several hours every day without eating anything. Amen. But, of course, my emphasis is spiritual. Yay. God honors praying and fasting. So I'm going to do it. I've never done it for health reasons, but I feel like I'm healthy partly because of it. Let's stand.